AM Columbus, W224 EG Madison, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Sherry Preston. Another day on the witness stand for Stormy Daniels in Donald Trump's hush money trial as another case hits a roadblock. ABC's Aaron Katursky's covering.
Trump's trial over his handling of classified documents is indefinitely postponed. Judge Aileen Cannon, a Trump appointee, has spent months considering legal questions without ruling on them. And she said she needs more time to resolve myriad and interconnected issues. The New York case charging Trump with falsifying business records tied to a 2016 hush payment to adult film actress Stormy Daniels may be the only one that reaches a verdict before the election.
A Georgia appeals court also agreeing to hear Trump's arguments in the Fulton County, Georgia election interference case. That means a significant delay in that trial as well. House Speaker Mike Johnson surviving a move by a handful of hardline Republicans in the House to kick him out of the job. He stays with the help of the Democrats. More severe weather is on the way. Georgia, Alabama, Tennessee in line forward throughout the day. This is ABC News. The former interpreter for baseball superstar Shohei Ohtani has agreed to plead guilty in a $17 million fraud case. Epi Mizuhira stole millions from Ohtani to cover gambling debts. The hunt around Santiago for two people is on. They opened fire on a home with rifles in San Antonio, leaving several people, including children, badly hurt.
The attack does not appear to have been random.
There were some text messages flying back and forth between at least one of the victims and somebody that we're considering a suspect.
Bexar County Sheriff Javier Salazar says the gunman stepped out of a car and fired around two dozen shots with high-powered weapons.
I mean, they just whisked cheese the front of that house.
Leaving five people, three of them under 10 years old, critically hurt before speeding away. Jim Ryan, ABC News, Dallas.
Big fight over the last place that Marilyn Monroe called home. The owners of the mansion, one of L.A.'s most exclusive areas, want to tear it down so they can expand their own home, which is next door. But they say the city is illegally blocking their demolition. Sherry Preston, ABC News.
When you're having computer problems, you need a company you trust to get things working again, quickly and affordably. Madison Computer Works has been doing that for business and residential customers for decades. Our computer care plans take away the hassle of being without your computer or needing to bring it in for repair. Starting at only $10 a month, our local and friendly techs provide remote help and can fix most problems in just minutes. Call 608-231-8000 and sign up today. Madison Computer Works, computers that work for you.
I'm Kareem Abdul-Jabbar. I learned about atrial fibrillation the hard way. My symptoms would come and go, shortness of breath, fatigue. I kept going. Then I got so lightheaded, I couldn't. My doctor said I have AFib, so I'm about five times more likely to have a stroke. Other symptoms, irregular heartbeat, heart racing, chest pain, can come and go, but the risk of stroke stays. If you have symptoms, tell a doctor. Visit notimetowait.com.
Sponsored by Bristol-Myers Squibb and Pfizer.
Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. President Biden in Wisconsin Wednesday touting Microsoft's new investment and his own economic record in Racine. President reminding voters Donald Trump and Foxconn promised 13,000 new jobs in the area, but never delivered.
3,500 total jobs left Wisconsin during my predecessor's term, but that's not on my watch.
Biden says he's created more jobs than Trump and nearly $1 trillion in private sector investment across the country. Vice President Kamala Harris returns to Wisconsin next week. It will be her fourth visit to Wisconsin this year. Harris plans to be in Milwaukee a week from tomorrow to call attention to the administration's efforts to boost the economy with steps like student loan debt forgiveness and support for education. And that's what you need to know. I'm Terry Bell, and this is Civic Media News.
Brewers still in first place. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Milwaukee Brewers still in a tie for first place with the Chicago Cubs in the NL Central. Milwaukee losing to the Royals in Kansas City 6-4. The Cubs losing two of three games after hosting the Padres. The Brewers opening a four-game series tonight against the Cardinals. NBA, the Bucks, Thanasis Antetokounmpo, the older brother of Giannis, has suffered a torn Achilles that will require surgery. That, according to The Athletic, Doc Rivers went 19-23 this season, including the playoffs. playoffs as the head coach of the Bucks and talked about what's next in the offseason and if he's back next year.
You know, I have the job, and, you know, this summer is very important. You know, building everything around the players the right way, building the team the right way, doing everything, being all together. It'll be nice for me having an understanding of our guys, how to use them, how to play them. So, yeah, there's some advantages to this for sure.
That's the Bucks head coach, Doc Rivers. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
It is going to be cloudy with scattered rain likely today. We could get a quarter inch of rain or more by the time it winds down this afternoon. And then I think some gradual clearing by late afternoon into this evening. Our high today, 59. The wind northeast at 5 to 15. Tonight, 44. Tomorrow, partly cloudy in the morning, an isolated shower in the afternoon. High of 67. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Outside now, it's 53.
Crude and Dom. President Biden says he'll stop weapon shipments to Israel if they invade Rafah. And Trump's back in court with Stormy Daniels. Devil's Advocates. We've got all the coverage you need.
The Devil's Advocates. Weekdays 3 to 6.
You're listening to Mad Radio WMDX, Madison's home for the Todd Lobel
Show. Hi, what's up?
Don Peterson.
Marty Young.
The Stone Age didn't end because of a shortage of stones.
So how do you say croissant in French?
Go yourself.
You are correct, sir.
Here they are. It's John and Gordy.
Just want to tell you both good luck. We're all counting on you.
Yeah. Mad Radio, WMDX, 92.7 FM at 1580 AM. Hope you're having a very good morning. Check us out on social media as well. We're just about everywhere.
Mm-hmm.
And you can even watch us at some of those places. You can get us on the Civic Media app. You can text us or give us a call automatically just by pushing one single button.
That's it.
It's that easy.
It is.
So we want to hear from you. This is an interactive program. That's why we're local. That's why we have our own telephone number. We want to hear from you.
And named by the Wisconsin Broadcasters Association as the third best morning show in the state. It's the best. John and Gordy Show.
Unbelievable.
I just can't believe it. Yeah, I know.
Here we are, still in shock.
Yeah. We're stunned by that news.
And
did you get a certificate, by the way? Did you get a piece of paper or anything?
I have not seen anything.
Haven't seen it.
Somebody here walked away with it.
Somebody has it.
I thought we'd have something to put on the walls.
Yeah,
right?
Maybe. Well,
in
that
here?
Would be nice.
You know, right in front of the devils so they can see that right up there.
Why would you bring that up?
Big friends.
Everybody's good here. Come on.
I know.
We're in the same boat.
We're in the same boat, right? Same one that's... No. That's okay.
Yes.
You know?
What?
Look, we're all friends here, aren't we?
We're all pulling for the same side. We're all on the same team here, you know? We don't want dictatorship. We want democracy.
We're all trying to save this sinking ship.
Okay, Sam.
So you mean the nation?
Yes, we're talking about the country, not civic media.
The country.
Okay.
All right. There. Just to clarify.
Let's move on.
Let's move on to Joe Biden's big visit to Sturtevant yesterday. Big announcement, right? Big announcement. Microsoft's planned development of a multi-billion-dollar AI data center right here in Wisconsin.
We're going to control
the minds of everyone.
This is from Wisconsin. This is huge, really.
It is.
I mean, big news. This was really an enormous announcement that finally they're going to do something with this Foxconn thing, which was a complete disaster
by Trump. Definitely. Definitely a bad deal.
Yeah.
All right. This was covered on MSNBC last night.
Yeah.
Chris Hayes covered the story. Let's start playing.
Let's get into that.
He doesn't have it?
Wait.
Well, you never put it on the planning doc, and I'm looking just based on name.
Oh, I thought we were going to open up with this story. Let's do it. Can you get it? No?
What is it, John?
Chris Hayes. Did you title it Chris Hayes?
Yeah. I sent an email to you. It's in email form.
Moments ago.
Needed some clarification here.
Yep.
While you were getting coffee, he yelled it down the hallway to you.
Well, a lot of times, we're yelling from this studio into Sam's studio, but he's got the headsets on, queuing up the next event. and he's not listening to us.
Well, he probably just missed the message. You weren't clear, and he didn't. You know, you're okay. Here it is. Here's Chris Hayes.
We're okay. Let's listen to it.
Now, perhaps the most egregious example, and it's a crowded field, of this came in 2018 when then President Trump wielded a literal golden shovel for the groundbreaking of what was supposed to be a $10 billion project in Racine, Wisconsin. Trump claimed to have negotiated a deal with Foxconn, the Taiwanese company that manufactures iPhones, among other things, that would bring 13,000 jobs to the state.
We're restoring America's industrial might, and thanks to the hardworking patriots like you, we're making America greater than ever before. It's greater than ever before. To Foxconn and to Terry Goh, and to all of the amazing Wisconsin workers with us today and all over the state, I want to wish you good luck and congratulations on truly one of the eighth wonder. I think we can say this is, we can say, the eighth wonder of the world. This is the eighth wonder of the world.
We can say
that. Can you say that, really? Well, it soon became clear this was all an outrageous, almost comically ludicrous boondoggle.
It was.
As Josh Jezza reported for The Verge in a great bit of investigative reporting, the project defaulted on almost every promise. The factory, the tech campus, and the thousands of jobs simply never materialized. The building Foxconn calls a, quote, LCD factory, about 1/20th the size of the original plan, is little more than an empty shell. Even the handful of jobs the company claims to have created are less than real. Many of them held by people with nothing to do, hired so the company could reach the number required for it to get tax subsidy payments from Wisconsin.
Can you believe that? That is it's just amazing. They just brought people in to sit at their desks so they could say, we've hired this many people. Yeah. Now let's get that money from our politicians who promised that money to us. It was a con, Foxconn, all the way. And I just said, just a little note on this, Corning, I think it was Corning that was going to make these screens for Foxconn. Okay. Foxconn was counting on Corning to build a plant next to Foxconn so the screens could be easily transported to them. And Corning said, you know, this doesn't work for us. So then Foxconn was just left there alone, and they couldn't do anything at all, and their plans kept shifting and went. Here's the thing. I saw this morning. This is from Robin Voss, our great assembly leader. He wrote this is his tweet.
Okay.
Didn't you oppose this investment and vote against the budgets that funded the roads, the bridges, tech colleges, and local government to this happening today? You know, and I wrote back, I think you're confused. This is a bailout to your debacle.
Yeah.
We're bailing you out.
Right.
Okay, let's continue.
And I love when Chris Hayes uses the word boondoggle.
Yeah,
it's boondoggle. Just, you know, it's a good word to describe it. Yep.
Let's check it out.
Okay.
He continues.
Employees just sat in their cubicles watching Netflix and playing games on their phones. The whole thing was a fiction. But there was a real idea, you know, embedded somewhere deep in Donald Trump's rhetoric of America First. The idea of a rebellion against the specific version of outsourced globalized capitalism that we'd experienced that really did hit certain sectors of this country very, very hard. And when Joe Biden came to office, he and his team began implementing economic policy that basically asked, what if we took all of that seriously? What if we took seriously the concern that a whole lot of people in this country have been left behind, that the era of outsourcing really did have incredibly damaging effects? What if we tried to change that? So he began with the Infrastructure Act, which has funded over 50,000 projects across all 50 states. The Inflation Reduction Act invested over $350 billion in the climate and clean energy, and it's probably going to surpass that amount, actually. It's been so successful. The CHIPS Act allocates billions of dollars to bring back manufacturing in high-tech semiconductors. And today, coming full circle, President Biden unveiled that real plan for the site of Donald Trump's failed Foxconn project.
Golden shovels.
My predecessor came to Racine with the promise of, quote, reclaiming our country's proud manufacturing legacy. Uh-huh.
Well, we had an infrastructure day every week for 4 years. Didn't build a damn thing. Came here with your Senator Ron Johnson, literally holding a golden shovel, promising to build the eighth wonder of the world. Are you kidding me? Look what happened. They dug a hole with those golden shovels, and then they fell into it. Foxconn turned out to be just that, a con. Go figure.
Yep.
Even Fox and Friends had to admit that Joe Biden has succeeded where Donald Trump failed.
This is sweet. Right here. Listen.
So, Peter, this new AI Microsoft thing, $3 billion, big job creators.
Yeah.
That's in Racine. Isn't that the same town that Foxconn said, I don't know, 5-6 years ago, we're going to build a big plant, and they never did?
Yeah, I think so.
Yes, and that was a huge Trump announcement back then, and he said that the factory was going to be the eighth wonder of the world, but then Foxconn decided to really scale back their plans, and the land is still available, so Microsoft is going in.
It's going to be good for those people.
Deucey to Deucey for the alley-oop dunk. The story of these two plans for Racine, Wisconsin is the story, really, of Donald Trump versus Joe Biden on domestic political economy. Donald Trump's policy was a con job. While Joe Biden and the Democratic Party really have actually undertaken across the entire administrative state, the entire government, legislatively, a very serious, granular project to rebuild America's manufacturing base, to create good-paying, often unionized jobs for people across the country, even in and specifically in areas that didn't vote for Joe Biden. And the project is having real results, is succeeding.
Okay, that's fantastic.
Chris Hayes from MSNBC.
Good coverage, great coverage.
Yeah.
It really is a bailout of what happened before.
Mm-hmm.
All the promises, the eighth wonder, really seriously, the eighth. I think we can call it that. The eighth wonder.
Eighth wonder.
Why not? Biden highlighted, by the way, his economic successes, saying Wisconsin lost 83,500 jobs under Trump, but gained 178,000 since Biden took office. The Microsoft deal is expected to bring in 2,000 union construction jobs to the area by the end of this year.
Mm-hmm.
And this is, by the way, the fourth trip to Wisconsin by Biden.
Mm-hmm. And I think Kamala Harris is here next week.
Yes.
Yeah. We're going to see a lot of presidential attention here from the candidates, from both Trump and Biden. For the next 5-6 months.
Yeah,
they're going to be here every other week.
It's important. And, of course, this all leads up to the GOP convention.
Sure.
It's amazing. You know,
What?
I'm trying to think of Trump's son. He was going to be graduating.
Barron?
Barron, yeah. No.
Barron von Trump?
He's part of the festivities in Milwaukee.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah.
What's
he's
going to
be a part
do?
Of
it.
He's
a
delegate
speak?
Or something like that.
Oh.
He's going to be one of their delegates.
Oh, well,
there.
Good.
Isn't that strange?
Yeah.
Now, that's really sad because I was hoping that, you know, the son didn't follow in the father's footsteps in regards to this. Sometimes, you know, they don't exactly, you know, meet eye to eye. But thing with Barron.
What about Melania? Is she going to be there?
I don't know.
We haven't seen her for months.
The thing with Barron is anybody ever see a story or a picture, rather, of him smiling? He looks really gloomy. Every picture I see is just very straight faced, gloomy.
Yeah. I don't know.
What is with him?
Well,
you tell me.
I have no idea. What are
you
talking
Barron?
About? I don't know Barron. I've seen pictures.
You called him
I know all I know, he's very tall.
Yeah, he's extremely tall.
He keeps growing taller.
And because he's tall,
he's
scary. It's like a giant Trump. And he's never smiled. Not in any picture that I've seen.
We'll try to troll the internet and see if we can find a picture of him smiling somewhere, anywhere.
All right, yeah, make me happy.
Maybe he's not happy. You ever think of that? 18 past the hour. You're listening to the John and Gordy Show.
You're listening to Mad Radio 92.7 WMDX. Keeping you informed, entertained, and connected to your local community. Here's Terry Barr with the Civic Media Radio Network.
A farmer from just outside of Madison found something unusual while picking rocks from his field in preparation for spring planting. A meteorite.
Yes, Jim Koch found a 110-pound meteorite. UW scientists confirm it is indeed a meteorite made of iron and nickel, and it may have been created in the solar system more than 4 billion, with a B, 4 billion years ago. This is the only meteorite ever discovered in Dane County, though 13 others have been found in other parts of the state. This particular one is now on display at the UW Geology Museum on West Dayton Street in Madison. Until next time, I'm Terry Barr.
Mad Radio, WMDX, Madison's home for Nightlight with Pete Schwabe.
Mad Radio, WMDX, 92.7 FM, 1580 AM.
A rainy day around Madison. We've got some drizzle, some showers, and 53 degrees, highs in the upper 50s.
Yep, and for all those with dial phones, it's 608-879-8255.
Mm-hmm. You can give us a call or send us a text there.
Yeah.
Yeah, get the Civic Media app fired up. You can text us very easily.
A couple of buttons
that.
There for calling and for texting, and that's all you have to do. And then give us a message, and we'll pass it along right here on the air. We've got John Nichols coming up in just a few moments. Mm-hmm. Can't wait for that. We've got a few questions, and maybe he knows a little bit more about the protest on the encampments.
Yeah, the UW Library Mall. Yeah. Still happening.
All right. Okay. All right, let's do that. Right. Now, there is something that's going on here in the state, and it's driving me crazy. It's DEI. You know, they've done away with DEI, kind of, at the UW. It's not like, you know, the UW can get rid of DEI. It's like, you know, we get a lot of, you know, foreign students coming to the university.
Of course.
And so we can't
all over the world.
We certainly can't sit there and, you know, tell them not to come here now because we don't want diversity. Mm. Right?
Right.
It just seems crazy.
Exactly.
So anyway, you know, it's really DEI in this state, the elimination of it, or the attempt to eliminate DEI in the state, diversity, equity, and inclusion. Mm-hmm. Is kind of a futile effort by the Republicans to, I guess, push white nationalism. Okay. And that's how I see it. Mm-hmm. Anyway, that's
no,
my
I think
opinion.
I would agree with that. Okay. Yeah, absolutely. It's yes, that's exactly what it is.
And Trump is running on the fact that he wants he's battling this white anti-white racism that's going on right now. Anti-white racism.
Just okay.
My head
again,
explodes thinking about all
of
this.
Here we are.
Stuff.
We're back in Bizarro world once again. Every day we get we get sucked back into the Bizarro world.
Who knew? Systemic racism vanished overnight somehow.
Right.
Right?
Yeah.
And now we just have to do away with this DEI thing. It's just ridiculous stuff. Okay, we're going to try a little thing here.
Okay.
Because I know everybody, I know the Republicans hate this DEI thing, so I'm going to add a little sound effect to make this point.
Okay.
All right. And look, yeah, there we go. There's a person screaming. And a guy screaming. That's... Okay, we're gonna just use one scream at a time, though. In this little presentation that I have. This is not going to work.
You go ahead, man. It's all
not going to work.
You have the platform.
All right.
Go ahead.
All right.
Tap dance. Let's go.
Let's see
where this goes.
All right, let's see how this works. You know, it would be easier if I had the little button that said I could do this. That. All right. Here we go. A Wisconsin Republicans audit by the Joint Legislative Audit Committee will go after both the DNR, the Department of Public Instruction, the UW system, and the state's pension fund for DEI. Of course, this is a distraction from the benefits of DEI.
Uh-huh.
Oh, I missed that. There we go. So Republicans can rant about the money spent on diversity, equity, and inclusion. Three of the most horrifying words threatening Republican white nationalism in Wisconsin, because that's what they're pushing, mm-hmm. I think, anyway. Yes, that's, well, that's my opinion.
I agree with your opinion once again. What do you keep looking over at me like I...
Well, now we're facing each other, so I am looking at you all the time.
Yeah.
All
right. Okay.
Okay. Remember this guy, Senator Eric Weinberger.
Yeah.
Okay. This is
Eric Weinberger,
state senator.
Okay.
As we face the rise of white nationalism and his almost comical words of mind-numbing projection, saying that Governor Tony Evers is using DEI to divide Wisconsinites into identity groups against each other, and was ethnic nationalism. Mm. So he's accusing Evers of what Republicans are doing, dividing Wisconsinites into identity groups, mm-hmm. by talking about and trying to eliminate DEI in the state. The white outrage. You got to fight that anti-white racism like Trump has ordered them to do. Mm-hmm. Now, Evers won't back down, saying we're going to be doing DEI in our agencies anyway, you know, creating inclusive environments that are free from bias. And that really does sound awful, doesn't it? I mean, you know, creating an inclusive environment free from bias.
Mm.
I don't know. How does that work? You know?
I don't know.
That's an experiment that I don't think the Republicans want to take a chance on.
No, they don't want to do that. No.
So I don't know, this white racism thing, you know, white nationalism.
Yeah.
Robin Voss came right out and said it. This guy doesn't see color, remember, right?
Yeah, he's colorblind.
He can't help bringing it up all the time. Right. This is what he said, and I don't have a clip for this, but I'm just going to say it for him. Okay.
All right.
Voss said he wanted to review to zero in our agencies that boost candidates of color during their hiring process. He wanted the review to zero out agencies that boost candidates of color during their hiring procedures. Now, that sounds very racist to me.
It does, yes. Well,
doesn't it?
Yeah.
Candidates of color. We don't want to boost them.
No.
No, we don't want them.
No.
Right?
Mm-mm.
Again, white nationalism.
Fair.
Anti-white racism that he's been ordered to take up by our candidate for president.
That guy.
What?
The great orange one.
I'm trying to think of the... Don Snorleone. There we go.
Don Snorleone.
We don't want to say his name here on the show. We have, by the way, we have avoided talking about Don Snorleone.
Him. Yeah, that guy.
For a long time now.
I know.
We're trying to just, why?
There's no reason to talk. I mean, it's just been talked to death. Everybody's sick of it.
Yeah, the trials, right?
Yes, the trials.
Now, imagine they talked about all these trials, and now they're all being delayed.
They're all being delayed,
except for
Stormy Daniels one.
Yes.
That one is going to go through.
Exactly.
But then it'll get appealed, and then that'll get kicked down
the road.
You know, they're not going to. What are they going to avoid appealing that? Of course, they're going to appeal that and throw more, you know, junk in the gears to slow everything down past the election.
Well, it's kind of a shoo-in. I mean, this one is going to go.
Yeah, and
he's going to be penalized for this, definitely. And all the other cases that came up through, I thought the buried headline was the fact that Trump actually had control of a media source.
You said his name.
Oh, damn. Okay. Put a penny in the old jar there.
Okay.
Again, we're not going to do the dimes anymore.
No,
right?
We're down to pennies.
Yes.
Okay.
But anyway.
They're not going to.
Yeah.
What? Where were we? Where were we on this? Oh, yeah. These trials are not going to amount to anything, as it turns out.
And they're going to keep talking about them, and it's taking up all the space where we could talk about what Biden has done to the economy,
mm-hmm.
how great the economy is running right now,
right.
And opposed to all the polls that say people aren't keeping up to date on all of this stuff, which is crazy insane. I have a story on that.
Okay.
And we'll look at that in just a moment.
Plus, coming up, our special guest, John Nichols from the Capital Times on the John and Gordy Show.
That's right.
You're You're listening to Mad Radio, WMDX, Madison's home for the Devil's Advocates Radio Show.
Most of us are focused on planting, but one small community in South Central Wisconsin's all about the harvest. I'm PM Yonke with a quick update on what's happening in food and farming news on a Thursday. The small community of Muscadet focused on a fungus. Details on the way.
Time to get back in the fields again. Whether you need high-quality used equipment to get the job done, or you have planting or other farm equipment you would like to sell, Steffes Group is a nationally recognized leader in the auction business with over 60 years of experience. To find a sales representative near you or for a list of upcoming auctions in your area and nationwide, visit steffesgroup.com. That's S-T-E-F-F-E-S group.com, your auction leader.
The small community of Muscadet, Wisconsin's focused in on morel mushrooms for their annual festival that's coming up May 17th and 18th. Tom Nondorf is a local that's helped to gather the morels from the wild for the past couple of years. He says this year looks exceptional when it comes to the harvest.
I would say it's going to be probably one of the better seasons in the last few years. Because, let's see, 23, the numbers were down. I think we did buy around 500 pounds at the end there. 2022, we bought, I think, maybe 250 pounds. 21 was a slow year. And 20, with the COVID year, was a really bad year because that was a cold, cold spring. That was really down. But I'm looking this year should be a fairly decent year. If I was to say, if I could have probably bought 300-400 pounds by now if I was buying regularly.
Tom Norndorf from Muscadet, one of the morel mushroom specialists and buyers for the community festival. All the money raised during the Muscadet Morel Festival goes towards the American Legion Post 85. You can find more details about the festival online, muscadet.com.
Don't let sick calves get you down and drain your profits. Get your calves up and moving with BioVet's Calf Electrolyte. Our Baselite product contains balanced electrolytes for restoring and maintaining proper fluid levels in scouring calves. Baselite also provides additional energy to support recovery. It's easy to mix, and calves drink it down to the last drop. Learn more about Baselite at bio-vet.com.
Innovation, that's BioVet.
And Compure Financial has awarded more than $240,000 to 61 county fairs across their service area, all for fairground improvements. They say 37% of the monies will be used for electric and lighting projects, 25% for building upgrades, and 24% for structural repairs. Want to find out more about those grants? Pop on over to our website, MidwestFarmReport.com. I'm PM Yonke.
Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
It is going to be cloudy with scattered rain likely today. We could get a quarter inch of rain or more by the time it winds down this afternoon. And then I think some gradual clearing by late afternoon into this evening. Our high today, 59. The wind northeast at 5 to 15. Tonight, 44. Tomorrow, partly cloudy in the morning, an isolated shower in the afternoon. High of 67. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Outside now, it's 53.
Hi, this is Gordy from Kopke's Greenhouse near Oregon. Mother's Day is just around the corner, and our greenhouses are bursting with color. We grow over 13,000 hanging baskets and over 1,000 patio containers. Whether it be for your mother or the mother of your children, we've got you covered. We are open till 7:30 weekdays and Saturdays till 6. You can also order gift cards on the web at kopkesgreenhouse.com. That's K-O-P-K-E-S greenhouse.com.
Do you owe back taxes? Call Tax Solutions now and get some help. For a limited time, the IRS offers a tax forgiveness program called the Fresh Start Initiative. Our team can make it easier for you to pay back taxes, avoid tax liens, and get a fresh start.
I call Tax Solutions now, and they got the IRS off my back.
Call Tax Solutions now. 800-281-8193. 800-281-8193. 800-281-8193.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
Brewers, Biden's Wisconsin visit, and what's leading the dive at the Trump NYC trial. You cannot miss it.
Weekdays 2 till 4 p.m.
This portion of the show is being brought to you by Ed's Decaffeinated Caffeine, for people who like feeling nervous and wide awake, but hate running to the bathroom all the time.
Matt Radio, WMDX, 92.7 FM and 1580 AM, and all over your social media dial. You should be watching us right now on Twitter X. Or on Facebook, on YouTube. We're all over.
Everywhere.
You can go to the Civic Media app and just click on the text or call buttons, and you can get through and give us a message.
Yeah. And we welcome our special guest, John Nichols. He's with the Cap Times, associate editor of Cap Times. Good morning, John.
Good morning. It's good to be with you both.
How long have you been with the Cap Times, anyway?
Oh, about 30 years.
Yeah,
That's all.
You can get the Cap Times online. They've got great stories there, and put a little money in their pocket. They're asking for it. Okay.
That's what people always are.
Yeah. You know, we went down to the Library Mall as well to check out the protest, you know, the small encampment that they had at the time, and they were breaking it up at about 9 o'clock. I saw you down there.
Yeah, this was about a week ago Wednesday,
about a
right?
Week ago and what has transpired since then? Have you kept track of what's going on? I know the encampment is much larger now.
Yeah, well, it was the university's attempt to shut it down was a disaster for the university. You know, it was very ill thought. The fact of the matter is that the encampment is it's a protest very much in the tradition of the University of Wisconsin. And the interesting thing about the University of Wisconsin is it's always proud of its protests after the fact. You know, now they have big symposiums on the Vietnam protests. And they even have a plaque on Bascom Hall honoring Professor Ely and the sifting and winnowing tradition, which was rooted in protests back in the 1890s. So as I said, they're always proud of protests in the past, but at the time they get upset. And so they tried to break this one up. But within hours, the tents were back. And now... the encampment is quite large. I stopped by it last night coming back from something on the west side.
Okay.
And there were hundreds of people there, and they were doing some talks and some symposiums. I saw it the other night. They had they honored Holocaust Remembrance Day and had a number of Jewish professors giving talks. So there's something – most days there's something – some big activity that draws a lot of people. And then I guess – you know, I don't know how many folks you'd say were there overnight, but it's I would say, you know, certainly dozens, maybe 100.
Well, you know, there are agitators, and I never saw such a strong focus on agitators before in order to, I guess, have an excuse to break up a lot of these protests, these peaceful protests. And distracting from the message of the protesters. Instead, they're going after the distractors, and they're also using an excuse to keep the students safe. They're very safe. In a peaceful protest, at this point, they're very, very safe. So all of these excuses fall flat as far as I'm concerned. And hearing the president of the UW, Jay Rothman, just discount their message completely and say it's impossible. It's, you know, it's a national, it's a foreign policy matter. You don't have anything to do with it. He must have forgotten about the Vietnam protests. You know, that was
and the anti-apartheid protests, which in many ways is very parallel to the anti-apartheid protests of the 1980s, which were very large and also had sometimes at campuses around the country had encampments like this, things of this nature. And as regards Mr. Rothman, I mean, you know, look, I don't think he's particularly in touch with, you know, what's going on the campus or frankly, you know, it's sort of sad to see somebody who's, I think, I don't know the man. But my sense is that he's trying his hardest to, you know, be on top of things, but he clearly didn't know what was going on. And some of his comments that he made, were, I guess, I don't, for lack of a better term, embarrassing, because they suggested a lack of knowledge of, you know, kind of the dynamics of what was going on the ground there, which, as you suggest, is quite peaceful, but also a lack of understanding of the university system's history. And it's really important to understand that that there's a tradition of protest, not just on the UW campus in Madison, but also on campuses around the state. If you go back to the 1960s, certainly the anti-war protests were everywhere. But if you go to the 1980s as an example, you saw anti-apartheid protests on many campuses around the state, including Milwaukee. And so, you know, it's sort of sad to hear Rothman, but you know, it's not, he's not the only one. The truth of the matter is that there are many administrators around the country who seem to moved into a new place. You know, it's like they're so upset about any sort of dissent, any sort of protest, that they lose sight of the tradition of these campuses, right, of campuses across the country. And part of that tradition is young people, whether you agree with them or not, trying to save the world, trying to do the right thing.
Exactly. I looked up the history of universities, and it goes back to the 12th century, where, you know, it became something unto its own. The king declared universities kind of independent, self-governing. The students and the instructors were self-governed, away from the interference of political movements. And it's always been like that. I think the word was universitas, and it was then changed to universities. So that's basically what a university should be, free of interference from the political class. And that is exactly not happening in this state, you know, since Scott Walker, definitely. But, you know, it's certainly getting a lot of interference at this time. And the students' message to divest is happening at other campuses around the nation. So it's not an impossible thing to do, although Rothman seems to think it is a silly thing to do. Right?
Yeah, and again, I don't want to be too tough on him, because I'll tell you, he's not unlike a lot of administrators and
across the country.
He's sort of very elite figures who, you know, I think they want their name to be associated with the university, because it's still an honorable thing, but perhaps aren't as engaged as they should be. And again, Rothman is in Wisconsin, but if you looked around the country, you're going to find a lot of this. And I think this is, you know, one of the challenges of universities is that through much of the history of this state, especially, there was an understanding that the University of Wisconsin was something special, that it was, you know, it wasn't just another university, that this was the great state University of Wisconsin, and that it, it sort of led the nation as regards openness to thinking and to challenging ideas, to ideas that, that push the limits. One of the interesting things about universities, I mentioned a minute ago, is this tradition of sifting and winnowing, the idea that at the University of Wisconsin, no matter what happened elsewhere, there would be this robust, intense debate, and it would be at times troubling, right? Unsettling, difficult. But that at the end of the day, out of that discourse would come, as the plaque on Bascom Hall suggests, truth. And I don't know if we ever get to truth. I mean, that's a difficult thing, but at least there's an effort to get there. And I think these students, and I'll mention both students who are there supporting Free Palestine, but also students who are objecting or who disagree with them. And you know, what's very wonderful at this point is that I've seen, you know, when you go down to that, to the mall there, you've seen students who are advocating for ceasefire, who are advocating for divestment at the university. You've also seen students have come by who disagree with that, and there haven't been bitter clashes. There actually been, I've seen actual dialogue where people are talking to each other, and there's people coming from a lot of different perspectives. It's actually, at the end of the day, a pretty healthy thing. Not always perfect, and we've had some graffiti and things that are ugly and inappropriate, evidence of anti-Semitism and Islamophobia, not so much, you know, from, you know, where usually individuals speaking or something like that, but again, graffiti and stuff like that. And we always have to guard against that. Right. You have to make sure that there's a safe discourse. You know, mm-hmm. that doesn't go to points where you try to hurt people or harm. But I, by and large, what I've seen around the campus is a lot of dialogue and hopefully, and I guess maybe in that sense, a great compliment to
I agree.
The students. Mm-hmm. At least.
Yeah. Talking with John Nichols, associate editor of the Cap Times. And John, you know, we're talking about the history of this peaceful protest, especially here at the UW. And, you know, we mentioned the 60s, you know, 1980s, 1960s, and then going all the way back to the 1890s. Why in Madison? What's in the water here that happened way long ago that made this way, do you think?
Oh, I think it goes back to the Wisconsin idea and this very strong tradition of respecting the adversity. Remember, Wisconsin's got this great progressive tradition. It runs deep in the state, not just in Madison, but around the whole state. And that progressive tradition was inspired in many ways by Robert M. La Follette, who was a very proud University of Wisconsin grad. And Bella Follette, his wife, who's also a pioneering UW grad. And so my sense is, that the people who formed the Wisconsin idea believed very strongly that the University of Wisconsin should be engaged with the state and engaged with the issues of the state, that it shouldn't just be an ivory tower, some elite place where mm-hmm. folks go and you know, think high thoughts but never really talk to people, never really try to solve the day-to-day problems. That's not the Wisconsin tradition. The Wisconsin idea is that the boundaries of the university are the boundaries of the state, i.e. that the University of Wisconsin seeks to solve the challenges of the state. And that Wisconsin idea is hardwired into the university. And so I think when students come there, they learn about the Wisconsin idea. I think very often they are inspired to put it into practice, right? And
right.
And to, in their own generation, in their own time, try to solve problems, try to solve challenges. Sometimes do they try to take on challenges that are, you know, pretty big and pretty overwhelming? Yes, they do. And don't you want younger generations, hopefully, to believe that they can come up with solutions that their elders failed to come up with?
Right, exactly. The mega Republicans are portraying this as anti-Semitism, and mm-hmm. Now the House put together something called the Anti-Semitism Awareness Act, which is, you know, the titles of their bills are just so laughable in so many ways. And they describe it as a house-wide effort to crack down on anti-Semitism on college campuses. And it seems like they're putting a target on college campuses nationwide. And it's not just this movement, the anti-Semitism movement, but it's also done in, as we know, Florida. We've watched that happen down there. So what do you think is happening here?
Well, look, I will tell you that a couple things that are important to understand.
Yeah.
As somebody who's spent a lot of my life reporting in Israel and Palestine and a lot of places around the world, anti-Semitism is real. There are people who hate Jews simply because someone's a Jew. And it's also true, of course, that Islamophobia is real. There are people who hate Muslims simply because they're Muslims. We have to always guard against that, and we have to be serious about it. But I think that in this current moment, there has been an effort to equate criticism of Israel with anti-Semitism.
Right,
and
exactly.
That's just not the case. As somebody who's reported a lot in Israel, I can tell you, if you want to hear criticism of Israel, you're going to hear it very loudly on the streets of Jerusalem and Tel Aviv and you know, all the cities of Israel, because there they have at their best encouraged a rich and vibrant discourse about their country and their future. I think in America, you find that in these current protests, there are people of all religions, Muslims, Christians, and many Jews who are protesting against Israeli policies. That doesn't make them anti-Semitic at all. Mm-hmm. And I think it's notable that when Congress took this issue up, a couple of Wisconsin members, Mark Pocan and Gwen Moore, voted against.
Exactly.
Hey, John, can you stay with us here for a couple more minutes?
Oh, sure.
I'd right. love to talk about Eric Hovde and other things.
Back Republican. With the associate editor of the Cap Times, John Nichols. More coming up on the John Agourdi Show.
You're listening to Mad Radio 92.7 WMDX.
Max Inc. on Civic Media, live in the lair with Kaylin Cole.
Have you ever walked away from a karaoke performance thinking, yeah, that was a lot better than the original person?
Oh my gosh, I don't know if I should admit that or not.
I think you should. Because now we know there's a song.
Jimmy's talking on it now.
I know. Oh, you're going to get me in trouble, Jimmy.
It's live in the lair. Grab the podcast now at maxincradio.com and listen live on Saturday nights, 6 to midnight, across the Civic Media Radio Network.
Covering all the news that affects you with humor and a unique perspective. Matinair on Air with Jane Matinair. Weekdays 11 till noon on the talk you can't ignore. Mad Radio 92.7 WMDX and on the Civic Media app.
You are never far away from your favorite radio station. We're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app. And if you missed your favorite show or game, listen to a podcast of it anytime on the app or our website, civicmedia.us.
Mad Radio 92.7 WMDX.
Tense.
Man, dig this crazy pad. Man, it's a mad pad.
WMDX 92.7 FM at 1580 AM, the John and Gordy Show. Our special guest, John Nichols, associate editor at the Cap Times. And we've also want to kind of touch base here. Local, the race for a Senate seat, basically, Eric Hovde. What is happening? What is your impression of Eric Hovde's campaign so far, John?
No, it's been interesting. It's a strange campaign, to be quite honest. Look, one of the odd things about Eric Hovde is, of course, he does have roots in Madison. You know, his dad and my mom were worked on the yearbook at East High a very long time ago. Wow. And so, you know, if I was Eric Hovde, I was running for the Senate, I'd emphasize my historic roots, even though he's lived in California a lot in recent years. I'd put an emphasis on that. Instead, he's run sort of an odd kind of generic campaign where he takes talking points from other places, and you know, doesn't seem to be as connected as he should be, and that's an imperfection in itself. But then some of the things he said have really been bizarre. I mean, the stuff about people in nursing homes, which I think he's tried to clean up, but the suggestion that folks in nursing homes or care facilities are somehow so far gone that they can't vote or that they shouldn't be voting, that's absurd. Yesterday I was with my mom, who's 93, and she lives on her own to some extent, but in a place with assisted living and stuff like that. And I mean, we were talking about Eleanor Roosevelt and the founding of the UN and history and politics yesterday. We were talking about Biden coming out to Racine County. And so I think my mom can vote, you know. I mean, I think people like her can as well. And I guess what I'm saying is that when someone like Hovde comes along and says things like that, I think even he knows that what he said was you know, ill thought, but it sends terrible messages. And then the folks at the Daily Cardinal have come up with, you know, they're reporting all sorts of instances where he said some pretty rough things about young people. And so here you've got a guy running for the U.S. Senate who's criticizing old people and young people. It doesn't seem like a real model for victory, I guess. No,
not really. There is currently at the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel an interview, you know, where they get the reporters around a table with a candidate and they ask him questions around this table. And Eric Hovde goes on these long rants and these reporters are just sitting there not interrupting him. And he takes on this persona like he is the all-knowing candidate. And it's embarrassing to even watch. It's seriously something people should check out. Definitely. It's crazy stuff. But, you know, starting off the campaign by challenging Baldwin to go into the lake, we can't forget
that. No, that was that was a bit much. Yeah. And axe throwing and all sorts of other interesting things. Look, you know, I mean, this is one of the challenges in politics. And I cover politics a lot. You know, my sense is that Eric Hovde, he did run for the Senate back in 2012 and got beat in the primary by Tommy Thompson. But my sense is that Eric Hovde is sort of running his own campaign. Mm-hmm. And we always like to think that candidates can do that. But the truth is that it's often valuable when you're running for office, and frankly, when you hold office, to take some advice, right, to listen to others. And I can't believe there are many people that would advise, many serious folks that would advise Eric Hovde to run a campaign the way he has run this campaign so far. Because I think he's kind of stepped on himself many times in ways that have frankly drawn not very favorable attention to him. And that's not what you want to do as a candidate. You know, you want to kind of draw a lot of positive attention to you and kind of push off the negative
exactly.
to your opponent.
Yeah, that's the idea.
It seems to have reversed order here.
Talking to John Nichols, associate editor of the Cap Times. Just a minute or two left here, John. You're going to be at the Barrymore Theater Saturday night at the Stephanie Miller Show. You're one of the special
sexy
panels.
Liberal. You're part of the sexy liberal group. You know.
Yeah. And so I know you know Stephanie Miller. You've worked with her before. You're looking forward to Saturday night like the rest of us, right? Yeah. It's going to be a good time.
Yeah, it's always a good show. And she's got a lot of good people with her. She's got John Fugelsang coming out. And mm-hmm. John is somebody who I've known for a very long time and done a lot with over the years, both with The Nation and with Fighting Bob Fest here.
Oh, yes.
He's come out and spoken at that. Yeah, so it's a good bunch. They know Wisconsin, or at least they have a good sense of it. And it's a very topical show, so there's a lot of humor, but it's rooted in sort of the politics and the issues of the moment. And so... I'm excited to be a part of it. And I think it'll be a pretty good get together. And I'm glad you guys are coming.
Yeah. Have you participated in the panel discussion at other shows before?
Yeah, I have. Yeah.
So it's at the end of the show and you take questions from the audience. Is that what happens?
It can happen that way.
It can happen that way.
I got to tell you, you're with a lot of really talented comedians.
Yes.
And talkers. And so it's sometimes hard to get a word in, Ezra. and that's a good thing, not a bad thing. No, there's a lot of audience interaction, and I think the people who come tend to be real fans of the show.
Oh, yeah.
And so it's there's folks even during the show. There's folks shouting out, you know, things and responses to it. So it's pretty good, pretty lively get together.
Pretty interactive.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah. Excellent.
Well, we're talking to John Nichols here from the Cap Times, and it's really great to have you on the show for the very first time. Mm-hmm. You know, you're listening. You're actually on the third best morning show in Wisconsin.
As voted by the Wisconsin Broadcasters
That's
Association.
Right.
So.
Well,
it's only a matter of time before you move up that ladder.
That's right.
Yeah, we'll see. We assume that.
We're hoping. Well. John, it's great to talk with you. We appreciate it, and continued good luck and good work at the Cap Times. It's terrific to have you here today.
Yeah. And say hello to Sly for us. By the way, Sly introduced us on the show. He was our first guest, and he introduced us to Madison, basically. Yeah. So we appreciate that.
He's a good guy and has done a lot of good work over the years. Thanks for having me. Keep up the good work, and I appreciate the questions.
Yeah, right. We'll see you Saturday night at the Barrymore.
Talk to you again.
Okay, take care, my
appreciate
friend.
It, John.
It's John Nichols, associate editor of the Capital Times. We appreciate him spending some time with us this morning. It'll be great to see him Saturday.
We've done so much in this town.
Unbelievable. So. Yeah. That's going to do it for us for this Thursday. Tonight, we'll be at the Madison Night Market right outside our station here on State Street, 202 State.
If it clears up.
From 5 to 9, bring your umbrellas, maybe, just in case. That'll do it for us today. We'll see you bright and early tomorrow morning with more of the John and Gordy Show. Stephanie Miller is next. Have a great day. So
see you later.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye now. Take care.
John and Gordy Show.
You're listening to Mad Radio, WMDX, Madison's home for Matt Nair on air.
Jane Matt Nair and Greg Bach.
Coming up on the show, we go beyond the cheese for National Lost Sock Memorial Day and talk to a longstanding Wisconsin sock maker. Paul Noonan with sports, Brittany Merlot with weather and wine. Don't miss it.
Matt Nair on air, weekday mornings at 11.
Welcome to the Lazy Oaf Lounge, Madison's east side place for friends and family to meet for fun and food. Stop in for great daily lunch specials, soups made from scratch, and jaw-dropping burgers, wraps, and sandwiches. Plus Friday fish fry and homemade pizza cooked in a classic stone hearth pizza oven. The Lazy Oaf Lounge, 1617 North Stoughton Road in Madison. Follow them on Facebook or at LazyOafLounge.com.
Listening to Mad Radio. WMDX 1580 AM Columbus. W224 EG Madison. And always streaming on the Civic Media app.